Hi, besties.
Welcome back.
How's everyone doing? Hope you're having a wonderful week. So we want to welcome Sutton Recase.
Hi.
Hi.
Thank you for having me.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Pretty good.
Doing great. We're so excited you're here.
I'm so excited to be here.
I've been recruiting Sutton for the podcast since like my first day on the job. So
the thing is, now that I've come, I'm gonna come back. Can I come back, Libby?
Yes. Recurring guest.
Yes.
So Sutton, first give us a little bit about your general background. So, you know, Sure. Are you a Toledo native? Where did you go to school? Any special interests that you focus on growing up?
Sure. So I'm actually not from Ohio or from Toledo. I'm from Richmond, Virginia. So I was born and raised in Richmond, Virginia. And growing up, I was a competitive dancer, which kind of fell. It goes into everything I'll go into with my career, but that kind of led the way for what I got into.
Sure.
So, no, I'm not an Ohioan. I'm a Virginian.
That's okay. You're a Toledo native now.
I am.
You're here now.
I've been here for about 3 years, and I love it here. So yeah. I'm really happy to be in the city.
Yeah, definitely. So then talk a little bit about what brought you here.
Sure. So I went to school. I went to a small school in Virginia for my undergrad. It's called Longwood University. It's mm-hmm. about an hour outside of Richmond. And I graduated with a degree in communications. And then I got my master's degree in Los Angeles at the University of Southern California with a master's degree in journalism. And then after, I was looking for a job in news and to be a TV reporter. And I ended up in Toledo. And
yeah.
I worked at NBC 24. And mm-hmm. the bosses there, their name are Tim and Jim. I still talk to them today. They were so amazing, and they recruited me, and I remember they took me on a tour of Toledo and just showed me everywhere, and, you know, I just pictured myself here, so I signed on, and that's how I ended up in the area, and that was the start of my career as well.
That's awesome. That. You've really been everywhere. coast to coast.
I was going to say, every coast I've been to, but yeah, I loved my time in LA. I actually thought when I graduated from undergrad in 2020, I thought I would stay in LA mm-hmm. after I went to grad school, and then I really wanted to get closer to home, so.
Yeah, definitely.
In the same time zone as my parents.
Right. And we're not too far. I mean, Virginia, the drive, the flight's pretty quick, but the drive, it's not too bad. It's like 9-ish hours.
Yeah, it's not bad. And I mean, really, the time zone was the biggest thing. It was so hard. I'd get off a class and my parents would be going to bed. And
right.
I was like, oh, I want to chit-chat.
Yeah, that's definitely difficult.
So talk to us a little bit more about your time then in that traditional media mm-hmm. space and what that was like.
It was really fun. So I was a reporter for 2 years, and I got to cover really everything. My first story I remember was the Solheim Cup. That was
okay.
my first
yeah,
day
wow.
on the job at 24. And I remember I was walking around with a photographer, Mikey, and it was so much fun. And I really loved reporting. But eventually I figured I wanted to switch my career a little bit. And I went into public relations and marketing, which is what I do now at Imagination Station. So I don't know. I loved my time telling stories of the community of Toledo. I felt like I met so many people.
Yeah.
It really helped me acclimate to the city.
Yeah. I would say we can both agree from
yeah,
our time
sure.
in media as well. It does really
yes.
help you get in the know fast.
I felt like I learned everyone's names. I knew everyone. I was just out and about. I learned how to drive around downtown really quickly. Got that down.
Always an important skill.
Parallel parked. Got it down. So it was super fun to just be in the middle of everything. And news is such a fast-paced industry, and it's really fun to go out on breaking news, and you're just like, there's kind of a thrill to it almost. So yeah, I loved my time at 24. It's the local news part is not around anymore, but working with everyone there was really just so wonderful, and I'm really glad I started my career there.
Yeah, definitely.
That's so awesome.
And then talk a little bit about your transition from 24 to your next career.
Yeah, so I was at 24 for almost 2 years. Mm-hmm. I was actually coming up the end of my contract with them. Everyone kind of knows that 24 does not do local news anymore, and they went down in May of 2023, and I was with the group at that time when they went down.
Oh, wow.
So all of us were laid off at that time. But I had known about February or March that I had planned to switch into marketing following my contract. I planned to finish it out and finish my reporting career. I loved telling stories, but like I mentioned earlier, how fast-paced it was. It honestly gave me a lot of anxiety, and
yeah.
I was really, really stressed 24/7. You come into work and you pitch a story, and then you have to get your interviews within a couple hours, and then you write the story, and then you edit it all together, and then you have to be back out there at 5, 6, you know, so on and so forth, and then you package it up for the 11 p.m. and then the morning shows. And while it was really fun and I gained a lot of experience, I just didn't see myself doing it forever. So
that's very fair.
It was just hard.
Yeah.
Just to be, you know, vulnerable there, it was just hard, and I didn't see myself doing that forever.
And it's huge to be able to acknowledge that mm-hmm. it's not a healthy environment for you, you know, putting the person first rather than the career first, which I think is really important.
Yeah, we love that here.
Yeah, and it was scary too, though. Just as I remember sitting in those moments of, you know, I just went to school for 5 years, I got a master's degree in this, and I am leaving after... It was 20 months, exactly. I did 20 months of news reporting. Mm-hmm. And so that was a scary, you know, realization to come to of like, oh, I don't see myself doing this forever. And I thought I was going to. And just kind of those next steps can be really scary. And then you add on a layer of being laid off on top. It's just like a...
Yeah, that's a whole combination.
It's just a moment to leave up almost to the universe or fate or what you believe in and just say, okay, well, everything will work itself out eventually and I'll land on my feet.
And it did. You're here now.
It did.
Well, but talk to that, too. I mean, you not only were going through a change for yourself, mm-hmm. but your entire staff, your peers, your bosses, everybody was going through a massive change with the closure of 24. Mm-hmm. So talk a little bit about what that company dynamic or morale looked like while you were shutting down.
Yeah. So we found out in end of April. I don't remember the exact date, but it was the end of April. And it was a really quick turnaround, almost. We had 2 weeks. So from the day that we found out that we were being laid off, we had 2 weeks left. They just told us in a meeting, you know, news will be shutting down in 2 weeks, and your last day is May. I think it was like maybe the 10th or the 12th or something of that nature. So it was a quick and fast moment of like, my whole life is kind of turned upside down in just one morning meeting, and now I don't know what my life will look like in 2 weeks.
Right.
So I would say my bosses were so great, and they really helped me kind of land on my feet. They wanted, I shouldn't say wanted, they tried to help us go to different news markets if that's what we were interested in. They had, you know, recruiters there within the company. It was a Sinclair-owned news station, so they had recruiters with there to help us. And it was at that time that I told my bosses I didn't plan to stay in news, but I appreciated their help. And they were all my references, so they were still really great at helping me and just kind of pointing me there. And actually, it's funny, a former coworker at 24 sent me the job at Imagination Station. So I tell him he is the reason that I work at Imagination Station.
I love that. That's nice. That's always nice to have that type of company connection and, you know.
Yeah, the position I have, he sent it to me and was like, I don't know if you'd be interested, but I saw it and I think you'd be great for it. And I wanted to send it over. And I said, thanks. So
that's so awesome.
I applied and now I'm here. So shout out Chris if he ever hears this.
So tell us a little bit now, you're at Imagination Station, kind of give our listeners a rundown of what your day-to-day looks like.
So my day-to-day looks different every day. So I do communication and media, and, you know, marketing is the bigger term for it all. Yeah. And my day can just be, it can be turned upside down in 10 seconds with the media calls. You know, my job is, if they call, to answer them and be able to find them an interview and help them get whatever they need to go on the air that day. And my past job really helps me for this position. I know the timelines that the news reporters need. I know video or photos or what they're looking for. So I kind of have like background knowledge of what they're going to need for their story, which helps me in my position because I can gather, do you need one interview? Do you need two? Who do you need? What time? You know, are you going live? Do you need to be back here for us? So I would say my job is very fast paced because that media can call at any time, so it can kind of be turned upside down. But really, I do a lot of writing for Imagination Station. I joke with my friends, I'm like, if you ever see something with words at Imagination Station, I had a hand in those words. That's the best way to put it.
Yeah.
So
we appreciate that.
Website, social media, I edit videos for us for our YouTube, take pictures, do newsletters, do printed pieces.
Yeah. She really does it all, you guys. Like, let me tell
go on the media, talk to the radio. So my job's really fun. And I like that every day is different, but I'm, you know, my mission is for Imagination Station, and that's always the same. But I like that there's a little bit of variation in my day.
Yeah.
So yeah, I have the best job ever.
I love that. Well, and I'm always interested to talk to people who studied journalism and then work in specifically communications mm-hmm. jobs that aren't necessarily within the journalism sector, just because I think it is a fascinating jump from going from being completely unbiased, this fast-paced, this deadline-oriented, which not that there aren't deadlines at other jobs, but you know the difference in journalism versus a regular run-of-the-mill deadline can be a little hasty. So I'm always interested to talk to people who have made that jump about what they have found the transferable skills are mm-hmm. from journalism to just PR and communications, and then also how you manage the element of changing your mindset from the objectivity to brand promotion.
Yes, I would say, you want to know what the hardest part for me was having fun in my writing.
Yeah.
I think it was maybe a month ago, I was reading something with my boss that I had released when I first started at Imagination Station, maybe a month into the job.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, I didn't make that sound very fun, did I, at that time? Like, I really didn't, you know, put any energy in my writing. It was just very news. Just,
yeah.
You know, what I was used to, just straightforward facts. Here
right.
they are.
Yeah.
The who, what, when, where, why. Here you go. I didn't add any fun alliterations or anything. So I would say all of our skills are really transferable. It's still telling a story. So I tell the story of Imagination Station. It's just a little bit different. And being biased is fun when you work at Imagination Station because it's the best place in the world.
Right.
Of course. So I would say for communications, all of our skills transfer easily. It's still writing, it's still reading, it's still proofing, it's still editing videos, it's still putting content together. It's just the mindset switch of you're doing it for an organization rather than being unbiased.
Yeah.
But it can be difficult, like I just was talking about, mm-hmm. where, you know, switching from just being very straightforward in your facts to being able to have some fun and some levity to your
yeah.
art can be difficult.
Definitely. I think that's really insightful. I love
but
that.
But I think it comes with time. I don't think it's a light switch that you can just turn off one day and turn on the next
yeah.
when you start a new job. I think it's something you just learn over time. And I also think if you're ready for the switch, you'll be ready to make that change
yeah.
in your content as well.
Definitely. I hear that.
Yeah. And so I kind of wanted to talk about, too, something for me getting involved at Imagination Station is the element of science and STEAM mm-hmm. and bringing that science is for everyone kind of outlook to the community. And I just want to get your thoughts on that
yeah.
and what that kind of means to you.
We have the best job. And I say in the marketing department, it's even better because my job is to take science and STEAM and make it fun and make it what the kids are interested in.
Mm-hmm.
So right now, an example is at Girl Power, we're doing the belt bags. All the little girls are wearing those belt bags.
Yeah.
Like, we need a belt bag for Imagination Station. And in a few months, we're doing a Minecraft activity in our tinkering space.
Mm-hmm.
And kids are obsessed with Minecraft.
Yeah,
and
right.
being able to show them how science and STEAM are in all of their favorite things is my favorite part because it's so fun to think about, like, well, what do the kids love right now? They love Summer Friday's lip gloss. You know, how does that relate to science? Did you know you can make your own lip gloss? You can study to become a scientist to learn how to make your own lip gloss. So I think that's the best part of what we do at Imagination Station, and personally, just being able to show kids how science and STEAM is in everything they love,
mm-hmm.
you know? It's not just textbooks in their class and, you know, all of that stuff. It is those things, but it's also in everything they love. And I mean, Taylor Swift, there's science in it.
Yeah.
And so it's
yeah.
it's really exciting to be able to show kids that. And I love doing our TikToks. Those are so fun to
yes.
do because you can see the kids in their comments like, whoa, I wish science class was always like this. So just getting to see that from the kids is really exciting.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm curious, too, about the in-office dynamic of kind of the hierarchy of roles and if you have any particular mentors or people who have helped you kind of shape your idea of loving Imagination
mm-hmm.
Station.
Well, I'd say everyone there is so passionate about what we do in every single department. You know, from the scientists, our experience team, our programs, everyone's so passionate. passionate about what we do, and then we're able to take that passion and our own unique talents and use it there. So I would say everyone is a role model in a different way, from Carl lighting stuff on fire, lighting your hand, when you go to Imagination Station, they light your hand on fire. It's so safely, everyone, safely. It does not hurt. So I would have to add to that is my, I should say R, because
yes.
Our boss, Andy Roman, is the best person
absolutely
in the whole world. I mean, she has helped me grow as a marketer, and then also just a person. Like, truly, I would say she is a friend. Like, her and I just text and chit-chat with each other. We actually share an office, and so she's on one side and I'm on the other, and it's so great because we're just able to collaborate and jump ideas off of one another, and I think we both have different strengths that work together, and so her yeah. strengths and mine just come together, and we're able to work off each other and make great marketing pieces yeah, all together. Definitely. So
we're
and,
always having so much fun.
And
guys.
Libby's on our team. So the marketing departments of Beth and Kathy.
So we love a little shout
I'll
out.
I'll shout out our whole department.
No, but I think it's very interesting that most of the people who are working at Imagination Station have been in Toledo for a while and have been in other roles with big Toledo institutions. I mean, Andy's a great example of that.
Yes.
She's worked all over the place in Toledo and rides and dies for Toledo.
Yes.
And so I think being able to bring that passion, combining the passion for our local community with the passion for STEAM, mm-hmm. I think is a really amazing thing.
It is. I joke every time I tell people that I work at Imagination Station and I work in marketing, the next question is, do you know Andy Roman? I'm like, yes, that's my boss. She's yeah. great. Everyone knows her. She's the
yes.
best.
So we got to talking a little bit about girl power. Just if you want to give us the quick like brief of what that all entails.
Yeah, because all I've yes. been hearing is that you're like super influential in this event and you've been working so hard. We love a bell back.
Did I mention that? So Girl Power is in March. It's on March 8th. It's a day that Imagination Station holds for girls in grades 3 through 8 where they get to come to the Science Center and they do workshops in the morning with different local STEAM professionals in different areas. And then they go to a keynote speaker, and then in the afternoon they do activity tables. And this year we have so many organizations joining us. I think it's our biggest one yet, which
yeah.
is amazing to have all those people joining us. Miss Ohio Stephanie Finotti is joining us. She's a scientist, a ballerina, and she's a pageant queen. She's Miss Ohio. She won 4th runner-up at Miss America.
She's like the real-life Barbie. She just does every job.
And she is so nice, too. I've been able to speak with her a few different times. We've done some interviews together for us to use in different pieces, and then just talking about the event coming up and just getting details all worked out. And she is so nice, and she's so passionate about what she does and sharing it with girls. And so it's been really great to talk to her. And even I'm inspired
yeah.
by her.
What prompted that idea for you to get her as the keynote speaker?
So we wanted to show girls that you can be whoever you want to be, and you don't have to put yourself into this box. And Miss Ohio shows that you can be a scientist, a ballerina. You can do whatever you want to be. She wants to be a doctor. And so
oh, cool.
it's really inspiring. And she said she's going to come with her crown and her sash and her lab coat.
Yes.
And so we thought it was just a great message to send to young girls that you can do everything you want to do. You don't have to pick one or the other. You can do it all. And you can make a career out of all of it together.
Yeah. yeah. No, I especially love the being in such a male-dominated field of STEAM and then still being able to, you know, bring that feminine aspect. I think it's so special.
I agree. You
especially
know,
when girls are so young, like they're so impressionable.
Yeah.
So
it's key to get that early.
Yeah. So I'm super excited for that.
And I think you're a great example of somebody who doesn't pigeonhole themselves. You focused on journalism for a long time, but you took stock of your life and realized that that might not be the path for you. And then you were able to make the jump into a career that you're genuinely mm-hmm. happy about every day. And I find that really inspiring. I think we want to end this episode by asking you for some advice from your perspective on, you know, being a young professional who did make that type of career change and followed your heart and your passion.
I would say, it's going to sound cliche, but do what makes you happy. Like I mentioned earlier, you know, that was a scary jump. But I knew in the end I would be happier.
Yeah.
Instead of just continuing in news and being stressed and anxious every day, but doing it because, well, I went to school for it for so long and this is what I thought I wanted to do. So I would say if you're having those feelings, first I'd really take stock of them and make sure it's not just, I would never do it after a bad day at work. We all have bad days at work, but I wouldn't do it then. I'd really take stock of how long you're having those feelings. And I would say if after a while, do what makes you happy and make the switch. It's scary, but you'll land on your feet and you'll be happier. And that's what you want. So that would really be my professional advice, is do what makes you happy, even if it's scary.
And you didn't think we were going to leave without a Roman Empire.
Never.
We are so excited to hear what our guest's Roman Empire is. And we hear she has two on lock for us.
I do. I thought of one, just a Roman Empire that I always think about, mm-hmm. and then one this week. So I do have two.
I love that. Why don't you kick us off then? I would love.
Okay. So my forever Roman Empire is my dog, which I feel like is kind of basic, but I think a lot of people can relate. My dog. I'm wondering what he's doing at home right now.
Listen, before I got my cat, I would have said that is a little crazy to me. But at the same time, now that I have a cat, I get it.
Yes.
She's all I think about.
I'm like, what's Corduroy doing at home right now?
Corduroy?
I have a golden retriever named Corduroy.
That is the cutest thing I've ever heard.
He's 4 years old. I won't get into his whole spiel. No one wants to know about my dog. But that would be my forever Roman Empire. And then Roman Empire for this week, okay. A pair of Gap jeans.
Okay. Now I'm so sad.
Yeah, I'm on the edge of my seat in my Gap jeans.
Guys, we all know it is so hard to find a pair of jeans that fit. It is
so hard.
It's almost as hard as getting into Harvard. So truly, I found a pair of Gap jeans that are so great.
Yes.
If anyone wants to know, high-rise vintage slim.
They're
in the cart. Added to cart.
Added to cart. And so that's my Roman Empire because I'm buying every color.
Did you get them in-store, online, or thrift?
Online.
Okay. Listen, I love it. It's wholesome with the dog, and it's fashionable with the jeans. So we got a little bit of everything.
Jeans are really, it's really that serious.
It really is that serious. I get it. Especially, as a woman buying jeans.
Especially. You buy a pair of jeans and they don't fit somewhere. Mm-hmm, they're too long. They don't fit your waist. I'm telling you, the Gap High Rise Vintage Slim, you guys.
I love that you cracked the code.
When all of Toledo is wearing them, can I take... I'm just kidding.
The Toledo takeover is wild. You know what? I'll go next because I think that Libby's is going to have a happier ending tone than mine. But I have to be so for real with y'all. I have been on my Oscar movie watch, as I do every year, and I just watched The Apprentice, which stars Sebastian Stan playing Donald Trump in the 80s and 90s. And I have to tell you, that is one of the wildest movies I have ever seen in my life. The acting, first of all, was incredible. Nothing short of excellent. I've never seen, because, you know, Sebastian Stan, who is the love of my life, was just in A Different Man. And he was incredible in that movie, but he didn't get a nomination for that movie. He got one for The Apprentice. And I was thinking, okay, how could he be better in The Apprentice than he was in A Different Man? And let me tell you, there were a couple moments where I had to actually pause the movie because he looked so realistically like Donald Trump in his mannerisms and his facial expressions that I was like so completely enthralled with the fact that a real person could act like another person so closely. It was a feat. It was truly like a triumph for Sebastian Stan. Wow. It was amazing. And Jeremy Strong played Roy Cohen, and his performance was also just incredible. But I think when you watch that, what's interesting is, on the surface, first of all, they do a great job of keeping that movie so objective. They literally tell you the facts as they happened. There is nothing in that movie that is not public record and that is not like widely known through interviews, which I think is very fascinating because they don't extrapolate on anything. Mm-hmm. They keep it very real and very true. And then the other part of that I really like is, under the surface, obviously, you know, at this current time when he is just reelected to be our president, it is very difficult, I think, to make a biopic about this man because you have to toe a certain line, and especially because right now all anybody is thinking about with him is his politics and mm-hmm. how it's affecting our country, right? But what I think is interesting is since this movie is set in the 80s and 90s, this is really pretty much about his initial come up and his relationship with Roy Cohen, his buying and creating of Trump Tower. But they do an excellent job of under the scenes and behind the scenes showing you how he formulates his ideas and gets to where he got today, yeah. which I think is very, very fascinating. It's almost like taking a peek behind the curtain of his mind. And I found it so wild that they could make a whole movie about our current president and not one time mention his politics, mm-hmm. but have them be so seriously on display in a sneaky kind of like behind the scenes way. Such an incredible movie.
Which, how long is this movie?
I want to say about 2 hours.
The fact that they can do all of that in a tiny little neat 2-hour package is yeah. crazy.
I mean, just wild. So props to the whole directing team, the makeup, the hair, costumes, everything was just phenomenal. Phenomenal.
Love it.
But especially shout out Sebastian Stan, love of my life. Hee hee. Anyway, all right, Libby, take us home.
It's so funny that you're talking about this like beautifully well-made movie, and mine is Love Island All-Stars.
Yeah, Love Island All-Stars.
Because it is, I fear, a little bit of brain rot, but I love it. It's such a nice way to end your day. It's so dramatic. Everybody coming back from previous seasons, and they all have their exes there. It's crazy.
No, and let me tell you what, I'm a convert because I really did not like Love Island at all. And then I watched like 2 episodes with Libby.
I knew, guys. I knew as soon as I put it on, she would be hooked.
She was just watching it when I came home. I sat down and I was like, all right, I'll bite. I'll watch for a little bit. And let me tell you, I have people that I'm screaming at on that television. I'm yelling at them, telling them to make different choices.
Yes.
Screaming about why some of these incredible women are fighting over the worst men.
It's always that.
And you know who you are if you're listening, Love Island All-Stars.
Oh, my gosh.
Because you know that you're the worst. Anyway.
Yes. But so, if you just need to de-stress and not live in the real world, Love Island All-Stars.
I love that. Love that. Are you a Love Island person?
I am.
Yeah.
I haven't watched All-Stars, though, but I think... Yes. I think I'm going to have to.
Because you can also vote on things. I love interactive
currently?
Media.
like when the episodes come out, they'll be like, vote for the most compatible couple now.
I was so late to watching this past season of USA. I watched it in September, October, mm-hmm. and I was hooked. But I love reality TV, so good. All the drama, edge of my seat all night.
Absolutely.
So I might have to venture into All Stars and see.
Come over, hang out, watch some All Stars with us.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much, Sutton, for coming on the show.
Thank
we are
for
so
me.
Happy to have you here.
Thank you.
We want to thank Sutton Riques, our guest on today's show. We're your hosts and producers, Libby and Riley, and our executive producer is the amazing Chris Pfeiffer.
If you have any questions, comments, or you just want to listen again, go to wgte.org/comeup or wherever you stream your podcasts.
Bye, besties!
WGTE. Voices around us.
WGTE is supported in part by the American Rescue Plan Act funds, allocated by the City of Toledo and the Lucas County Commissioners, and administered by the Arts Commission.